Hello and welcome to Musical Roots. I am your co-host, Matilda Lloyd.
And I am Helen Kuby.
And we are very excited to welcome you to this brand new classical music podcast where we are going to interview guests from all over the music industry to hear their stories and learn all of the things that can't be found in their CVs or in their biographies. This introductory episode is just for you to get to know a little bit about us as your hosts. So I'm going to start off by asking Helen what instrument she plays and how did she get started on it?
So I play the French horn. How did I start on it? Good question. I started on a very random day in primary school. I remember the music service came in and they were like, who wants to play a brass instrument? And I said, me, but with absolutely no idea of what brass is. Lo and behold, I was given a cornet. And then my teacher said that I was playing too loud. And so I was given a French horn. I wish it was deeper than that, but it's not.
Fantastic. Well, I didn't start out on cornet. I actually started out on the piano. My mum started teaching me a bit of piano when I was about 5 or 6. But then when I was 8, I stumbled across my dad's old trumpet in a cupboard while I was looking for a new toy to play with. And I saw that shiny silver trumpet and thought, that looks like an exciting toy to play with. And I can make a decent sound on it. Got some lessons.
We love that. We love that. And Matilda, you did BBC Musician in 2014, became a semi-finalist. From that day where you picked up that trumpet from a cupboard and then going all the way to there, what was life like for you as a musician after that?
I think it was definitely a real turning point for me in terms of the whole debate going on inside about whether to be an orchestral player or whether to be a soloist. I think going through that whole process of doing the BBC Young Musician and having to learn so much trumpet and piano repertoire for all the different rounds. And then afterwards, then I got to do quite a few concerto engagements with local orchestras and with a couple of the BBC orchestras. And I just found my passion, which was being on stage as the soloist and just really having the creative freedom over the repertoire that I was playing. And I absolutely loved that. So I think it was a real turning point for me in that it gave me real clarity and sort of showed me the direction that I wanted to take with the trumpet.
Mm. Amazing. And what is it about solo playing that you like so much?
I think it is just that I get to connect with the audience so much more closely and intimately. And as a soloist, I am portraying my emotions and the emotions of the music and really acting as a vessel to give the audience that experience and to make them feel things. That's ultimately why I love being a soloist and being able to show off all the different sides of the trumpet as well, from the piccolo to the flugelhorn to, you know, technical virtuosic things to lyrical beautiful melodies. Just being able to show people the variety of sounds and things that you can do with the trumpet, it's very exciting.
I love that, and I love how much you love it. But then at the same time, I suppose the next question is, you know, having decided at quite a fairly young age that, you know, you wanted to do music, you wanted to be a performer, what was it that made you instead go to university first instead of a music college or a conservatoire?
It's such a good question. And I think it was quite clear to me early on that I enjoyed academics at school. I liked history, I liked maths, I liked languages. So I enjoyed all of those subjects. And I think at the time, I mean, with a brass instrument, you can't be doing more than a couple of hours practice a day anyway. So I don't think there's as much of a necessity to completely single-mindedly focus on that instrument at such a young age. You know, if you're a pianist or a violinist and you need to practice 6, 7, 8, however many hours a day, then it makes so much sense to go to music college where you don't have lots of other distractions and you can do that. But I enjoyed academics when I went to visit Cambridge and have the open day, I absolutely fell in love with the place and I just knew that I wanted to go there. And I had the most amazing time there, and I still had time to practice and to get involved with the local music scene, the university music scene, and also the terms were very short, so I had lots of time in the holidays to still go off and do other concerts and do EYO tours in the summer and all of those kinds of things. So I really had what I feel was the best of both worlds. And I know also that you went to university as well, Helen, so you can tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, I did go to university. It's very true. So I played the French horn, loved being in my local youth orchestra, but I liked playing orchestral stuff, and I realistically did not really practice or have a desire to go off and do performance at all. So I went to university because I really liked music, quite specifically, weirdly loved music theory and analysis. Massive nerd over here.
We love nerd.
Big nerd. And so I did that. And then basically I got an amazing teacher who was massively inspiring. And I worked out I liked practice. What? It was fun. And then I suddenly was like, oh, I want to do this more. After that, I decided to go off and do a master's in the horn.
Which is how we met at the Royal Academy.
Which is how we met, yeah, absolutely. And then I went on and I was like, oh, you know what, because I clearly haven't done enough education yet, I went off and I'm doing an MSc in performance science. So basically, I'm just a massive nerd and I like studying and learning and anything to do with it.
How do you think that your relationship with the horn has changed now that you're kind of focused so much on the research side of things?
Well, I would argue I'm not particularly focused on one area or another. And I think that's the beauty of a portfolio career, is that I get to choose what that balance is and what it looks like. So whilst I do research in kind of performance psychology and specifically adolescent mental well-being and strategies, I'm there and in my classes and I have my students and I'm doing this research, but quite often the time when I'm doing the practice and the facilitating, I have my horn in my hand. So I think I just see it more as a tool,
a sort of
as well as
complementary parts of your life.
Absolutely. And it's the same with like community music. I see it very similarly as I do, kind of well-being work, as well as and then doing research. And research just informs the way that I do my facilitation. So, you know, when I'm playing the horn and I know understanding things like performance anxiety, it helps me to be able to perform to the best of my abilities, to be able to get my musical ideas across. So I think, you know, I wouldn't say one is more than the other. It depends what comes up at what time. As we know, as musicians, it can be quite a turbulent career at times. And so it always means I have something busy to keep me going, and I love that.
And when you're so busy, obviously one of the kind of major focuses of our podcast is to kind of slightly demystify the classical music world and the people in it, and to kind of show everyone's unique personalities and the differences. What do you do in your time off when you're, you know, you've got such a busy schedule? What do you do to look after yourself and to kind of, yeah, put yourself first?
So I love I have both weightlifting and I love running. So I'll do either one of those a few times a week, normally in the morning, just to kind of, you know, it's so easy to, I could stay in bed all day if I wanted to, but, you know, to get my head fresh and going, I'll go out and do that. And then if I was outside of that, I'm not going to lie, I do like the pub with my friends to be able to socialise. And then other than that, I really like going out to restaurants. I'm doing pottery.
Oh, didn't you used to work in restaurants?
Yeah, I worked in hospitality for 10 years.
Yeah.
So I do like restaurants and
You're a fully trained sommelier or something, if I remember.
Yeah, right. So I have wine training qualifications. So
incredible.
The enjoyment of alcohol goes beyond just the effects of it. It's very much a kind of meditation and mindfulness for me.
I love that.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't maybe go about promoting that in my classes, but But for me, it works for me, and that's good. And quite frankly, the other things I do in my spare time is lay on the sofa and binge watch Friends. So just keeping it real there.
Do you know, I've never watched Friends.
People
can't really believe
it.
No, people can't really believe it. But like when I was growing up, like a teenager, we didn't really watch that much TV. And so it just kind of passed me by. And by the time I'd kind of got to uni and was sort of watching TV shows, I kind of missed the boat. And then I couldn't be bothered to like go back to the start.
Yeah.
So I just never watched it.
Yeah. I mean, that's something for you to do with your future.
No, this is the thing.
You need to do
I've been in the room where like Friends have put on an episode and I've just watched it and I've been like, I don't get it. It's not for me. But then I love The Big Bang Theory. So people always say like, you should love Friends too. So I don't know. Anyway, I feel like we've diverged.
Yes, big divergence. That is, yeah. Anyway, culture. That's what we're here for. Culture and Friends is part of that.
Pop culture.
I mean, going on from that, then you watch The Big Bang Theory. What else do you do with your spare time, Matilda?
I also, especially over the last few years, have found the importance of exercise. And for me as well, like getting outdoors, I would say even more so than exercise, just like being out in nature. And like, I love hiking and I've really found a love for swimming in like lakes and in the sea and doing the whole jumping in a sauna and then jumping in the sea, which I absolutely love to do. It's one of my most favorite sort of experiences. It makes you feel really alive. And paddle boarding and, you know, all of these kinds of just outdoor activities. But, you know, just as simple as going for a nice walk, I love to do. And I'm quite into podcasts, funnily enough. No, but
weird.
I love listening to podcasts about sort of, you know, personal mastery and nutrition and about the body and about how the body works and things like that. I'm really fascinated by the kind of non-fiction based mm-hmm. podcasts.
Yeah, I'm completely the same.
I love all of that stuff. And yeah, reading, cooking. I'm getting more into cooking. Trying to experiment with different recipes and stuff. I find chopping vegetables very therapeutic.
What's the best thing you cook?
To be fair, most of my good recipes are like borrowed or stolen from friends. So I would say that I make a fabulous chili con carne, but it's definitely not my recipe. It's my friend Beth's recipe. Shout out to Beth and her amazing chili con carne recipe. And my friend Ellie has an amazing halloumi and cauliflower curry recipe that is so good. But again, not my recipe, but I just make it.
There you go. I mean, there you go, guys. So that's me and Matilda.
It's a short introduction to us and our lives.
Yeah, basically, Friends, Big Bang Theory, food, and music.
Lots and lots of music.
So to finish that off, speaking about music, what is the last piece of music that you listened to?
Ooh, I know what it was. While I was having my breakfast this morning, I listened to Fields of Gold by Sting. That's the last track
that
banger. I listened to. Yes, such a
good
one.
What a banger. Yeah, nice.
And quick fire question for you, Helen, which is what musician, dead or alive, would you most like to meet?
Oh, it's hard, isn't it? But also I feel like composers and musicians are in different categories. This is not very quick fire. You know who it would be? Ethel Smythe. I just think, like, what was it like? I don't know. I feel like she was probably a bit scary in some ways, but I kind of love that. I don't know. I'd be really intrigued. And she was just, like, such a powerhouse. And
totally.
Went across the whole system, but then also came up with this absolutely epic music.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'd love to sit down and have dinner with her. Maybe over your chili con carne.
Perfect. Sounds great. Thank you so much for listening to our introductory episode of Musical Roots and getting to know us. We're very excited for our first episode proper, and we will see you there.